The deal in Europe that Bill O'Reilly's employer may have been really worried about. For Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. As you've been hearing, Bill O'Reilly still denies he harassed coworkers, but he is out as cable TV host amid pressure from protesters and advertisers, and also perhaps business pressures on the parent company of the Fox News Channel, 21st Century Fox. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has been looking into the wider corporate interests at play here. But Kimberly, some of the catalysts for the decision are pretty straightforward.
Right. There was a ton of publicity after the New York Times investigation that revealed multi-million dollar settlements, as well as more allegations that came to light after this investigation was revealed. And that led to the departure of more than 50 advertisers, which is a big part of how these kind of shows stay on air.
And that part, the larger parent company, 21st Century Fox, may be concerned about how this is playing out outside the U.S.
It's important to note that this is a big company with interest in Asia, Australia, Europe, and not just in news, as well as in the entertainment industry. Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox, has a $15 billion bid in for British satellite TV operator Sky News, and he'd already been struggling to prove that the company was quote-unquote fit and proper, as the British government requires, to move forward on that deal, and the company was already smarting from having to fire Roger Ailes over other harassment claims and the News of the World hacking scandal in the UK, if you remember that phone hacking scandal a couple years ago. And in a lot of places, this company is struggling to prove to advertisers, viewers, and regulators that they take ethics seriously.
All right, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, thank you. Let's check the live markets. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%, but Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 3 tenths percent range. A new study finds it makes a huge difference if a person attends community college full-time. Even one full-time semester increases the chances of graduation. Only about 40% of community college students get a degree within 6 years. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott has details.
Two-thirds of community college students take classes part-time while holding down jobs or caring for family. Looking at transcript data, the Center for Community College Student Engagement found that students who take a full course load, even for one semester, are more likely to finish.
The biggest takeaway is a little full-time goes a long way.
Executive Director Evelyn Waiwaioli says going full-time the first semester makes a lasting difference.
They're finding out about resources. Where can I go to get advice on financial aid? They're finding out about that because they're on campus longer.
Colleges often discourage struggling students from pushing too hard, says Davis Jenkins with the Community College Research Center. The study suggests that's the wrong approach.
It's saying to educators, you know, don't assume that taking it easy is going to help them. In fact, it may hurt them.
He says colleges can help by making sure all students have a clear degree plan and the support to stick with it. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Technology in the workplace may be a bigger threat and a bigger opportunity than the current debate over globalization. By one calculation, $2.7 trillion in wages are paid for activities that could be done by hardware or software. That's trillion with a T. As part of our robot-proof jobs coverage on Marketplace this week, we're looking at bright ideas to increase the chances that humans come out on top with more machines competing for work. There's taxing robots. There's universal basic income. Today, an idea from Harvard labor economist Richard Freeman. What if more of us owned the robots?
One of the things that's happened in the last 20 or 30 years, the share of income that goes to capital has increased, and the share of income that goes to labor has fallen. And we have to do something to change that if we're going to have monies that will allow normal working people's living standards to go up. They could fight against the capital, but fighting the machines just makes little sense. So the best thing is that they should become capitalists in some sense and own part of it.
Freeman has been wrestling with what to do, and here's what he's come up with: incentives so that more people own stock. Stock that should go up as companies get more profitable from all the tech they're using, all the robots in the workforce. Put another way, if productivity gains presently tend to go to shareholders, not workers, why not find ways, policy ways, to turn a lot more workers into shareholders?
you certainly would want to have shares not only in the company you're working at, because that's always risky. Company can have problems. But you'd want to have a broad-based set of shares.
There are certainly examples of employee buyouts of entire companies in which a lot of the employees end up owning a piece.
Yes. About 10% of American workers are in employee stock ownership participation companies, plan companies, actually. And many firms, including most of the high-tech firms, have either profit-sharing and ownership schemes and stock option plans. Those are done because people actually work harder and better and smarter when they have some ownership stake, but it also gives people this protection if their wages don't go up because of technological or other reasons.
Friedman says companies could get a tax break for this. Workers, for their part, could also get a tax break for robot dividends. This week, the Trump administration is emphasizing that federal contracts will give preference to American-made products. Friedman asks if federal buyers might also give preference to companies that promote stock ownership among employees so that more workers reap the benefits of algorithms and machines on the job. There are some other ways to help make humans the winners with more machines doing our work. Explore this with me in a special podcast series, Robot Proof Jobs. It's in the regular Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed, or search Marketplace and Robot Proof. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.